This is 1A. I'm Joshua Johnson in Washington. Let's talk money. Big money. The combined Mega Millions and Powerball jackpots have topped $2 billion. The 44 states, Washington, D.C., and the U.S. Virgin Islands where tickets are available are reportedly selling hundreds of them every minute. So lotto frenzy is real, but you're more likely to be attacked by a shark than to win the jackpot. Does more money actually bring more happiness? Or more problems? Or both? We'll get to that after this.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Hinge. Hinge is the dating app that's great at one thing, setting you up on great dates. And they're not just saying that. On Hinge, 3 out of 4 first dates lead to second dates. They are the number one mobile first dating app mentioned in the New York Times wedding section. So if you're looking for a BFF, a job, a pen pal, or a hookup, Hinge isn't the place for you. Hinge is exclusively designed to get you out on great dates. Download Hinge in the Apple Store or Google Play.
Election Day is just a few weeks away, and some are saying it could be a year of the woman. We're talking to Democrat Stacey Abrams and Republican Elizabeth Heng, two women trying to excite their parties in 2018. That's next time on It's Been a Minute from NPR.
Joining us now is someone who knows what it's like to win a lottery. To protect her identity, we'll just call her Sally. So, Sally, welcome to 1A.
Thanks for having me, Joshua.
Tell us briefly about your family's experience with winning the lottery. How much did you win?
Well, it was several years ago, and it was actually my parents. So in full disclosure, my parents won $80 million with one of the lottery systems.
$80 million.
$80 million, yes.
Talk about that day when they realized that they had won. What was that like?
Well, now I lived in a different city than my parents, but I can remember the exact moment when my dad called. I was on a business trip. You know, he called kind of somber. I thought something dreadful had happened. He didn't really know how to articulate it over to me. So he just said, we won. And my dad for many, many years, you know, would buy tickets and, you know, just play along. And I remember being a kid and we would all sit around the table and talk about what we would do if we ever won. And then, you know, it's coming true all of a sudden.
What did they decide that they would do? What were some of the things that they talked about doing if they had won?
Oh, I mean, the small town that we grew up in, we would leave the small town, you know, live on a beach, you know, just travel the world and do everything we would want to do, right? It's interesting how after the win, none of that we sat around and said actually came true for my parents. So they actually went a different direction. I don't know. Some of that could have been from age also.
Right.
You know, as you get older, you want to be a little more grounded where
right.
you are.
And I do want to hear more about the direction they went in when we continue with you in just a moment. Our guest, who we will refer to as Sally, will tell a little bit more of the story. We'll also hear from some experts who study how these lotteries work, and we'll get to some of your questions and stories as well. Stay close.
This episode is sponsored by CuriosityStream. If you love documentaries, then CuriosityStream will be your new happy place. From the founder of the Discovery Channel, finally a streaming service for nerds, where you can binge-watch shows on science, history, nature, and more. With over 2,000 films and series and apps on most devices, there's truly something for everyone. Try it for 30 days free at curiositystream.com/NPR and enter promo code NPR.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. I just interviewed Melissa McCarthy.
This is what happens when you corner a rat. You corner me, I will chew through you. I'll chew through you.
Yikes, thank goodness she's not that way in person. You can find our interview in the Fresh Air feed.
Let me get to a few of your comments in terms of what you would do if you won the lottery. Steven wrote on our Facebook page, I'd check off every vice I've ever dreamed about. Natalie wrote on our Facebook page, I'll never win because I don't gamble. No lottery for me. And Jim wrote on our Facebook page, I'll take my chances with finding out if I can handle the wealth or not. Sally, I'd love you to respond to Jim's comment in terms of finding out if you can handle the wealth. Once the money got into your parents' hands, how did they handle it?
That's a great question, and I'm going to agree with him. I'm not going to lie. Everything that, you know, even if I say something negative about the win today, I am not going to lie. I'm such a hypocrite. Yes, we have a ticket for tonight's drawing.
Uh-huh.
$1.6 billion, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, now, wait a minute. You know. Wait a minute. Y'all already won. You can't win twice. That's a new rule. If you win a lottery, you can't win twice.
It wasn't me. It was my parents. And it's interesting because, you know, when people hear $80 million, you know, I never realized how much it decreases. Like, if you take the cash option and then Uncle Sam has his hands out, like, I mean, 15 times in that first year. It's just, it really dwindles down. Now, please don't get me wrong. My diamond shoes are not too tight and all that. But, you know, but I will say that, you know, I'm not going to lie and say that it was a complete curse for my family. And when I say my family, I'm going to talk about my husband and my two daughters. So in so many ways, it was a blessing because my parents did share a small portion with my brother and I. You know, that means that my kids can literally choose any primary and secondary education goal they want. They can go to any school for any amount of time. They can do anything they want. If you want to travel to Italy to study architecture because that's your dream, do it. You know, and that's an absolute blessing. My husband and I both being in software sales, we would have been able to afford that anyway, but it's nice to just have that cushion.
Right.
So there are blessings. But I will say that the win has shown me personally the absolute dark side of human nature. And, you know, it wasn't my win, but I have absolutely experienced it. I'm sure my parents, you know, would have many, many more stories. And, you know, in speaking about my parents, it strained our relationship. You know, I've chosen to become, you know, extremely private about this win. You know, my husband and I moved to a different town to just kind of get away because my parents won in a state where you could not remain anonymous. And for them, that was heaven because they loved to brag about it. They loved to spend lavishly. Like, it's like, look at me, where I'm more of the exact opposite. And some of that is just out of fear. You know, I'm kind of fear-based anyway. You know, you worry about the people that are going to kidnap your kids for ransom. I worry about my parents, someone hitting them over the head, and just making sure everyone's safe.
I know we got to move on in just a moment, but I wonder how you reflect back on that. If you could go back to whatever the store was where your parents bought that winning ticket and say something to them before they bought it, what would you say?
It would be the same thing that I would tell anyone who won tonight, or if you won $2 million, if you won $2 billion, it doesn't matter. I think it's they absolutely need to heed the typical advice that you hear. You know, surround yourself with a great team, a CPA, a financial advisor, an attorney. But my big advice would be to be careful. These are not necessarily the people that you went to high school with, whose office is in a strip mall or handled your last divorce or whatever, you know, you've had. You know, the scale of your new estate has to match their ability to serve you.
Gotcha.
And, you know, if you can't remain anonymous, consider options that allow you to remain as anonymous as possible, and then you control the message out. You know, I know that there are ways to do it. And I think the last one is to just be aware of people's actions, no matter how subtle. You've got to create your own litmus test of who becomes your tribe.
Right, right.
It's not your close family, and it's not your friends.
Well, I really do appreciate you sharing your story with us, despite your decision to remain anonymous. Sally will call you. But Sally, we appreciate you sharing that with us. Thanks very much for talking to us.
Thank you. Good luck to everyone with a ticket, including us tonight.
We did hear from some of you who have won some lotteries in the past, although I still like my rule. If you win once, you can't win twice. But DJ in San Diego did win a lottery. DJ emailed, not a big win, but we won $26,000 from the California Super Lotto Plus some years ago. Got all five numbers, but not the all-important mega number. We netted $19,200. On one hand, it was probably a wash with all the money spent on the slips purchased in the years previous to that win. On the other hand, the $19,200 was gone in a hot minute. People came out of the woodwork. Our shirt tails grew long. The only thing I can remember is the purchase of our first flat screen TV, and that went in the divorce. Shrug. I continue to play Powerball and Mega Millions because why couldn't it be me? Joining us now to continue our conversation from WGBH in Boston is Jay Zagorski, a professor at Boston University's Questrom School of Business, who conducts national studies on inheritance. Professor Zagorski, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on.
Also with us is Susan Bradley, the founder of the Sudden Money Institute, which deals with people who need financial planning, especially financial transitions planning. Susan, welcome.
Thank you so much.
Professor Zagorski, let me start with you, this gigantic jackpot. How unprecedented is this for a jackpot to grow this high? I mean, I've heard that $1.6 billion is the all-time record. Is that right?
Well, $1.6 billion is the all-time record, but it only eclipses the previous record, which happened back in January of 2016, by just a small amount. The last record was almost $1.59 billion. But just to give your listeners an idea of how big this is, if you pick the cash option and you invested in relatively secure bonds, the amount of interest you would get after taxes would be about $100,000 per day. Can you imagine spending $100,000 day in and day out? And then at the end, you'd still have the principal amount left over.
Susan, you've worked with about 24 individuals who have won the lottery. Give us a sense of how their lives change right away. What happens on day one?
Shock. Most people are in some state of shock. As Sally said, her father had a hard time articulating what he wanted to say. So immediately, it's an overwhelm. Sleep deprivation is very common, and it's very hard to go silent with this. It's very hard not to tell other people about it. And in a perfect world, you'd like to have some quiet time to absorb all this happening and start to adapt. But the first few days are very intense. It's a euphoria kind of thing, but in the world of stress management, it's called eustress, not distress. And it has the same effect on the way your mind works. The way your mind works and the way your body works. So it's not a good time to be making life-changing decisions, which sometimes does happen.
Right. This eustress, E-U-S-T-R-E-S-S, this kind of good stress rather than bad stress. Once the eustress begins to ease, say around day five, Susan, what questions should these winners begin asking themselves once they start to calm down?
Well, people say things like that. The most common thing is what I always ask people is who won. I want to know if both spouses are part of this or one or who is it? Is it a family? The other thing that they do, though, is they need to have their inner circle. They need to have some people who really have loved them always and will have their best interests. But those people have their own eustress. So this isn't, you don't do this in isolation. It becomes kind of tribal, as Sally said. So you want to pick your tribe. And the first 4 or 5 days, if things don't calm down by day five, there's no magic like that.
Mm-hmm.
In my experience, it takes about 5 years. If someone is going to absorb all of this change in their life and have a normal life that they recreate or reimagine, it takes about 5 years.
5 years. I want to get to a few more of your comments about the lottery. One of you left a note in our inbox about someone that they loved winning the lottery. Here's what he left in our voicemail.
My name's Frank from Mulberry, Florida. My stepbrother, Tommy, won $2 million in the lottery, and it could not have happened at a better time. He'd hurt himself at work and decided to play $2 on the lottery and won $2 million. He was way behind on his house payment, was going about to lose it. His son was about to have to leave college because of lack of funds, and his other son was not going to be able to go to college because of not being able to pay for it. That being said, it saved his house. It's paid for. His doctor bills are paid for. The surgery that he needed is taken care of. And both of his sons' college are paid for. So couldn't have happened to a nicer guy.
Sounds like it, Frank. Thanks very much for sharing that story. Professor Zagorski, I'd love to hear your reaction to Frank's tale.
Sometimes things work out well, but I've been following for over 20 years a large number of people, and we started following these people in their teenage years, and some of them won and got large gifts, some of them won the lottery, some of them got large inheritances, many of them didn't. And we could compare these people. And on average, those people who got large gifts and inheritances and lottery winnings, about 50% of all the money was gone relatively quickly, in about a year to 2 years. And there's been a number of other studies that have also looked at lottery winners. There was one study that went back 10 years later, and among people who won large lottery prizes, they only were able to save 16%. So much of the money disappears quite quickly.
I'm sorry, 16%? 1/6%?
1/6.
For the people who are able to hold on to more of that money, well, let me not presume. I mean, I don't want to presume that the idea of money is just to hold on to it. I mean, I think about Andrew Carnegie, who once wrote, I want to spend the first half of my life making money. I want to spend the second half of my life giving it all away. So I wonder, Professor, what you see as the focus of people who win these large sums. Do they want to keep it all? Do they want to give it all away? Do they want to buy an island off the coast of New Zealand? I mean, what's the mainstream of what people do with this money?
I'm not really sure what people want to do with their money, and I think a lot of people don't think about what they want to do with your money, their money. In general, what happens is the money just seems to disappear quickly, and it's not going into actual physical things. As part of our study, we asked them, do they own a house before they win these monies or before they get a large inheritance? Do they own cars, the value of all of it? And they're not actually buying physical assets. It just seems to have totally disappeared.
Susan, let me get to a few more questions and comments, including this one related to the tax implications of winning. Here's what this listener left in our inbox.
I'm not a lottery purchaser. I've never won a lottery. My bigger question is, this is a form of taxation. What happens to all the tax dollars? Where do they go? How does the government spend them?
Thanks very much for that question through our app 1A Vox Pop. Susan, can you talk about the way taxation affects lotteries? I imagine it's different from state to state, right?
Well, gambling earnings are taxable, like other income is taxable. So your tax dollars, whether it's federal, state, county, city, goes where your tax dollars go. It's not free money as it is in Canada or UK. When they win, they whatever the number is, that's the number that they get. So it is a form of taxation that happens. That's pretty common to this. I don't think most lottery winners are aware of what happens when you take a lump sum, when you get a present value amount, so you get a big discount there, and then you get taxes. It's usually 1/3 is what someone walks away with.
With a third of the jackpot that they win?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
So somebody...
It's still a lot of money tonight, you know, if that were happening.
Yeah.
But it's not $1.6 billion. You could do that over a 30-year period, but if you wanted it up front, it's called the present value calculation, and it's a steep discount.
Let me get to one or two more of your comments before we run out of time. Vicky wrote on our Facebook page, no estate, no fancy car, no ridiculous designer purse. I'd correct issues with my house, pursue things and organizations I want to volunteer for, set up trusts. Not likely going to happen, but it would be nice to lift up family and things like Habitat for Humanity, literacy, and the humanities. And Lester messaged us on Facebook, if I win the lottery, I will make sure 1A stays on the air for posterity. Oh, Lester, you say that now. You haven't heard my terms. Professor Zagorski, before we go, from your research, just in terms of the question of money and happiness, what's the main thing you want people to take away, or money and wellness in terms of coming into a big sum of money like this, before we go?
If I had to sum it up, if you think winning the lottery is going to make all your problems go away, it'll probably make the problems you're currently facing today go away, but you're going to get a totally different set of problems.
So you just inherit bigger problems for the money that you gain.
You do. And if I just have one more minute, I want to tell your listeners a quick story.
Very, very briefly.
Because it is possible to spend all that. There was a man named Huntington Hartford who was the heir to the A&P supermarket fortune. He got almost $1.3 billion when he was 12 years old.
Wow.
He went bankrupt 70 years later. Spent it all.
7 years later?
70.
70 years later. Wow. My goodness. Jay Zagorski of the Boston University Questions School of Business and Susan Bradley of the Sudden Money Institute, thank you both very much for being with us. This conversation was produced by Bianca Martin. You can learn more about her and the rest of our staff online at the1a.org/staff. Until we meet again, I'm Joshua Johnson. Thanks for listening, and we will see you tomorrow from Chicago. This is 1A.